And it wasn't saying that the scripture was responsible for that. It was saying that the ignorance of the leaders that had been leading for generations. It was their ignorance that had come up, that made them come up with that idea and that position, that they were to see themselves as divine beings blessed with the divine spark. And the worst, and the other part of the world that's not, or the great majority of the world of people that's not blessed with that divine spark, as their animals or demons or whatever. And that's the way they ruled. There was no public education. There was no respect for women's rights. Women was not given any future in society. Women were just used for sex. Certain ones were just selected to join the man in that oppression. Yeah, if she could come in and be loyal to the order, then she was used to just perpetuate or to give more strength to that order that was oppressing man and woman. That was the whole order. And we don't see enlightenment, we don't see freedom until when? Till Martin Luther and the Protestant movement brought that thing to an end. When it was brought to an end, some Catholics went along with it, some Catholics, all Catholics weren't the same. Some Catholics believed too that a change was needed, that that was not what God intended for the Christians with the gospel or the New Testament. So they joined the Protestant movement, and eventually we saw the world grow out of darkness and the world of enlightenment come, and eventually this time that we live in now, where we have Western democracy, and a world that encourages everybody to assert their humanity, to assert their rational freedom, to assert their human dignity, and insist that the society, the rule, respect all of us equally. So that came much later. So in time we have freed slaves, blacks freed from slavery. In time we have women given their rights. And now, with the vision or the focus on freedom being different or out of focus, homosexuals' rights, and if you can come up with some rights, it'll be recognized. They'll be recognized too, at least by this liberal thinking that's in the society, this extreme liberal thinking that's in the society. Your rights will be accepted too. So everybody. So this gives you a quick picture of our world coming from a church-dominated world that oppressed human life, that denied God's creation, His human creation. The role, the purpose, the job assignment that He Himself intended for man on this earth, for mankind on this earth. So there was an order really claiming to be the protectors of the way, and they themselves were the very oppressors of the way. And all of that was changed. But it didn't change before the Quran came down from heaven to Muhammad, the uneducated human messenger prophet. The Islamic world had already seen a renewal. The Eastern world had already seen a renewal because of the Quran and Islam. And the sciences were already developed there. And not only that, a democratic order was existing. Respect for individuals' right to think for themselves was already established and in place. I'll prophesy every one of you are a rational person. And you are entitled to your opinions, to your rational opinions. Prophet had already said that. Kulu Rai. Every one of you is a rational thinking person. And you are entitled to your rational opinions. So what the West brought to us as a focus on the need to serve freedom, the freeing of the potential of man's intellect and his life as a social creature, our community creature, had already begun. In fact, it was a few centuries before the Protestant movement, before enlightenment for the West. We're talking about 700 A.D. and that Renaissance for the West only came about about 13th century, and really didn't get into full gear until about 14th or 15th century or so. Yes. So we're talking about much later, you're talking about 500 years or so after the coming of the Quran, our prayer, and the creativity that it sparked or generated, that resulted in devotions to the sciences, business, culture, etc. This is not to call attention to just Islam, but to call attention to the great religions. We know that there were scientific thinkers, philosophers, great minds in Christian leadership before and even during the oppressive time. Is that not correct? But they were persecuted. The Christian society persecuted them. Who killed Galileo, the scientist? Galileo, what's his name?
Galileo.
Yes, the scientist, the Greek scientist. Who killed him? The church leadership. And that's just one. We can name many others that they killed. Because the general thinking was against that. The religions, especially those called the religions of the book, identified with us as people of the book, the Jewish community and the Christian community, and the Muslim community. These great communities, that's not to say there are no others, there are some others, but these great communities, we have more in common when it comes to what we believe our purpose and our mission is, our assignment is on this earth. We have more in common. In fact, we have so much in common that the time is changing now to bring Muslim leadership, Christian leadership, Jewish leadership, and even some others now, together as partners in the work of addressing the evils of the present society, the present world, and addressing the need to come up with solutions that will remove these evils from the present world and make possible for the ushering in of a utopian world, utopian society, a dream society, but a dream that can be realized. The dream of the righteous, informed, enlightened servants of God. Yes, that's the work that's being going on. That's going on right now. There were 600 world organizations for this, and they are thinking the same. They're addressing the same concerns, and they are serious about showing unity. The unity of religions for the purpose of addressing the needs of man's world, the needs of human society. We say man's world because women, you didn't do this. You ain't responsible for this burden that's on the world. You weren't the designers. You're just coming into your rights You didn't do it. Communism didn't come from you. Capitalism didn't come from you. Separation of church and state didn't come from you. The marketplace, the design, and how it operates didn't come from you. In fact, men design your clothes and their clothes. Men set their life and your life. It's changing now. You got more freedom. You're going to have a bigger and bigger part in it. I'm sure. But the world that we have complaints against, you didn't do that. That's not your job. The work. That's not your work. You didn't do it. So believe me, James Brown was right. This is a man's world. And he was right again when he said it, but it wouldn't be nothing without her. And a girl. Yes, he was right. And the more respect, the more we see that we have really oppressed our own partners for accomplishing this job that God gave us, the more we see that we oppress them and give them their rights, or accept that they take their rights, because these women they ain't gonna wait for us to give them their rights. These women are taking their rights. They meeting in Beijing, China, Communist China, this fall. And they didn't ask any of us to go there with them and didn't get our permission to go. So they're going to get their rights. Don't worry about that. But the more we prepare to recognize their rights and respect their rights, the better off our whole world is going to be. And the sooner we're going to see that great society that God directed the best of our visionaries to. Religion, Allahu Akbar, God is greater. The religion is a special guide to us. It's guidance, a special guidance to us. And religion is support to us, not just for the spiritual dimension. Religion is guidance for the whole life of man, his individual life, and his life in community. Religion has guidance, or is guidance, for his government, and also for the protection of his government, for the protection of his ideas, and the future, the longevity of his society and his ideas. Religion gives us that kind of protection, nothing else. Revealed religion only gives us that kind of protection, that kind of vision into the future needs of our world, and that kind of protection for the future life of our world. The Quran came and addressed man as a servant of God. Nothing honors man more than God making man his servant. And all of us are servants. You may not like the word. You're a servant. If you're not serving somebody, you're serving yourself. You're a servant. And if you serve yourself and nobody else, your servant, yourself, pardon me, is going to become your master. And if you keep serving yourself and disregarding the big field of service God created for you, that you should be serving others, especially God, yourself is going to become the cruelest master you can imagine being created. Yourself! We think of Hitler as being cruel to the Jews, but if Hitler knew what his own machine was created to do in this world, the beautiful work, human work, that his machine was created to do, he would not see his crimes against Jews being bigger than his crimes against his own temple, the temple of his own dignity that God created him with. Yes. Now, individuals out there in the streets, they're straying away from regard for sacred matters, straying away from respect for religion, etc., respect for powers, etc., and think of serving nobody but their own notions, their own aspirations, their own appetites, their own interests. In time, they become so cruel to themselves that it pains us to just remember them or recall them in their misery. The pain is too much. You say, I don't want to be in hell with him. I can't think about him. If I think about him, I'm going to be in hell with him. The pain to our minds and to our hearts is so much just to think on such people. They're out there getting high, destroying themselves, making themselves freaks and monsters. Their mind is a mind of a monster. Their hearts are the hearts of monsters. You can't get any human response or any human awakening in them. And you know they weren't created bad.
That's right.
You know in their normal state they would be beautiful. And it hurts you so bad you want to just pretend they don't exist so that you won't be in hell with them.
Right.
And that's because they became servants of themselves. And themselves became cruel masters. For the benefit of the Christians, there's a saying in your religion, in your society, that I'd rather be a doorman for God than to be with the queen or the king or the top ruler in this world. That's no silly thought. That's no thought of somebody just spiritually charged up, a zealot or something, that's moving on emotions. Oh God, I love my God so much, I'd rather be a doorman with God than to be standing by the President of the United States serving the country. No, that's not that. What he's saying is this. God is the highest ruler. God is the highest authority. God is the richest authority. God is the most powerful authority. God is the most informed authority. God is the wisest authority. God is the authority and power to lift up others more so than any other authority. He is more powerful than any other authority to lift up people into authority. My chances for rising up and having dignity and image and honor and power in this world is better for me with God than it is for me with anybody else. And it's so much better for me with God that my position as a common, ordinary, unskilled servant in His kingdom is more important than the highest position of the person in the kingdom of man that ignores that God. That's what it's saying. And the benefit is psychological. The benefit is psychological benefit. If you believe that, then you have the energy that you need to meet any challenge out here in the world, to aspire for the highest positions in this world. Because you're not doing it as one depending on man to supply you, to guide you, to equip you. You're doing it depending on the creator of the world and man. The inspirer of your mind and the man's mind, no matter how high he is up. You're doing it under him as his worker. As his worker. God calls us His servants, but He also says, I am a worker. And therefore, you be workers working in your places. So this job of servant is not the job of a slave that's suppressed or held back from his potential. No. This is a job. This is a job. And it is a job of a servant who has made an agreement with his master to give his devotion, to give his obedience to his God over all others. If he deny anyone his obedience, it will be someone or something other than his creator. He will never deny his creator, his creator, his obedience. For making this position, for agreeing to this, his creator then promises, and it's in scripture, I could give it to you, his creator then promises him that I will equip you for success. I will see that you be successful.
Yes, sir.
He promises him success, no matter what happens. And God begins then freeing him. The moment he enters into that agreement, God, his creator, begins freeing him. The slave master checks him, checks his growth. The worldly slave master, the world slave master, checks him, checks his growth, keeps him back out of his potential, deny him the big, rich position that he could have in the world. His slave master holds him back. The best of slave masters just bring him to his side. Huh? Bring him to the side and say, well, since you, this is the best of slave masters in the world, I bring you to my side. You're still my slave. But you will see the world with me. You'll travel with me. You'll enjoy life like I enjoy it. But you're my slave. Your allegiance is to me. Now, he better not come up and say, tell his slave master, his master. Say, look, I've learned so much in my travel and so much standing by your side all the time that I have envisioned a world, another world, a better one than this. The slave master will say, well, you're going back downstairs where I got you from. And if you ain't careful, I'm going to take the breath out of you. Yeah. But Allah loves you when you get that kind of mind.
Yes,
Allah said, look, my servant, it's envisioning a better world. So Allah gives him support. Go on, more freedom. Pushes you on to more freedom. Go on to more freedom. You're getting closer to the destiny that I have designed for you. So when one knows this, to call himself the servant or the slave of God lifts him up, lifts his spirit up, makes him feel strong and great, confident. That's the great difference.
That's right.
So God has not honored any creature more than he honored the creature that he called his ox. And when Allah referred to Muhammad in a very, very, I would say, a very special way, he said, I lifted my servant up. He didn't say Muhammad. He didn't call him by his name. He said, I lifted my servant up by night. That's the ascension and the travel. And we know that after that, Muhammad was able to build the community in Medina. Thank you very much. I wish I could stay here and share more with you of what I see in this topic, but time has passed too much. Peace be upon you, and I pray God give us kind hearts and more kindness in our kind hearts that have kind hearts and open minds, but minds that fear disobedience, fear disobeying God, and will close instantly against that will corrupt the mind or that will take them away from their obedience to God. We pray that God forgive us our errors, our sins, our shortcomings. Bless us with his mercy and guidance always, and keep us as the best servants in our own religions, and help us to come together to work for our own, I would say, the assignment and in the work field that our Creator prepared for us. As-salamu alaykum.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman for human salvation, call or write WDM Publications. Call 1-708-862-7733 or write Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. Thanks for listening.